tomato basil soup.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but I'm going to anyways.
Here we go.
This isn't on, right?
I guess my attempt is...
Yeah. Yeah? No?
You know, to kind of figure out the story.
I've never done anything like this before.
As I have conversations.
Oh, that's a great idea.
I'd say it's about as local as you can get.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of The Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist. I'm your host, Madeline Allborn. Today, we are recording in the Closet Recording Studio here in the Church Project Community Arts Center in Monta Vista, Colorado, and with our producer, the famous Owen Woods, and our publication platform, alamosacitizen.com. Today, we have two guests in the closet with us, and as per my favorite tradition, would you all like to introduce yourselves?
So my name is Keith Hershey, Jr. I'm an RPG enthusiast. I'm also a freelancer on the side. I first started in the RPGs. I started in 1982 when I was over in Germany. My dad was in the army, and he taught us how to play. And on the weekends, we'd go to the castles and check all that. So it just really cemented, you know, this medieval fantasy that I'm so entranced with. And over the years I played, I picked up the Dungeon Master mantle back in 1990. And ever since, I've been running or playing games. I've pretty much run every edition of D&D and several other variants. I'm also a 3D printer on the side. I'm a painter and a freelancer. I also write for RPG books on the side as well.
Oh my goodness. That's way more than I thought. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here, Keith.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Kick it over.
I'm Yael Defai. I've been enjoying fantasy stories and worlds since I was a little kid. My parents made up stories in those world, and became addicted to video games when I was young, and all the games were around those same theme as well. So, and then I end up trying to, like my parents, create my own stories as well. And maybe like 5 years ago or something like that, I started wanting to write them down. And every time I was writing the books, like my stories, I feel the story was not as alive as it was in my head. And this is where Keith put something on social media saying he was teaching people how to become dungeon masters for the Dungeons and Dragons and those kind of board games. And it just made a click in my head. And I'm like, okay, this is it. This is where I need to express my stories that way. And that's how we met. And we've been hanging out pretty much weekly almost since then. So just playing those games and evolving from all of that. So I've learned a lot from him.
Yeah. So, well, awesome. Well, I'm happy to have both of you in our recording studio today, and to also introduce to our audience a really exciting event that you all have been planning for what seems like, from what I've heard, a long time coming. And so, yeah, just right off the bat, I'd love to get kind of those event details out to our audience. When is it happening? Where is it happening? Who will be there?
Well, it's happening on June 14 and 15. That's happening in Del Norte in the new wellness center that's been built over there a year ago. And that's a nice enough room so that we can have lots of different games happening at the same time. And who can come? Well, everybody. Either people who already played games before, want to discover new games, or people who have never played and always been interesting to play this game. That's
great. So kind of like all ages or skill levels.
So
too?
Yeah. So most of the games are 13 and up. We've okay. got a few games that are adults only, because some are like based on the horror, mystery, and those kind of things. And then we've got a few games that are like any age really that could be in there. So
yeah, I think there's a dungeon board game that's
Fonts is running
8 and up. So that's the lowest bracket that we currently have games for.
Awesome. And you guys will both be leading games during this convention?
So, yeah, leading the convention, which is our first convention. So we'll be present to figure out all the different details we're going to have to deal with the day of. And, yeah, we'll be running some games as well. And we got, like I said, we got 21 games overall that's going to be available during the weekend. And by going there, you'll have a chance to, you can play up to 6 games, if I remember right, during the entire weekend.
Okay.
If you show up from the first time, beginning to finish, that's what that will be. So
yeah. And is there a cost to attend, or is it donation based, or
no? There is a cost to it. So we're putting as a discount on our website for now. There's a discount code for it. So it will be $28 for the entire weekend to play those 6 games.
Oh, amazing!
So we're trying everybody to register online, do that beforehand. They will be possibly to buy a badge at the door if you want to, but the price will go up at that point because we're just trying to push everybody to go online so that we don't have to deal with that part and be more focused on the games themselves during that time. So,
well, it makes sense in order to, I'm sure, to lead a convention this big. And it sounds like it's also the first of its kind in the Valley. Have other conventions happened around?
No, there've been some like small little group sometime that got together to run a couple of games and things like that, but nothing of that size.
Yeah.
I've been trying to be run there. So, and we also have a t-shirt also that's, it's been made specially for the convention.
Is that what you all are wearing? Yeah, we're wearing right now.
You guys cannot see that right now.
This is
so
good.
If you met us around, I'm sure you've seen us wearing that t-shirt. That's pretty much the only, I mean, we've got several one of those. So, but that's the only kind of t-shirt I've been wearing until the convention is over. Then I could wear my other ones. But yeah, we got to find a designer that designed like we have mountains in the background. There's a sand dunes in front, and there's a blue dragon, which is a desert dragon flying off from the dunes. So there's sand flying around. So that's what the t-shirts represent. So it's really made specially for us. So so that's, and the last date to order the t-shirt is Wednesday the 29th. So we're getting close to that time. So.
And you also order the t-shirt on
The same website.
From the same website.
And there's a discount as well for it. So it's like $28 as well for it. So.
Oh, great.
So, we, being the first convention, we will not be able to have t-shirt available to buy on site because it's impossible to figure out how much, what size you need to buy.
Inventory is difficult to track. So I don't blame y'all. You're doing it the right way.
We don't want to have to deal with that, but. But yeah, and we've got like several sponsors also like sponsoring us behind there. We got Hobby Town helping us out. We got Respawn from Del Norte that's going to be there with us and running Magic the Gathering as well over there. And we got the Sword Guild from the San Luis Valley also that are going to be there. They should be there.
Guys.
I think find details is to be finalized, but I think it's Saturday afternoon. I think around that time they're planning to be there. So even as I had them one time come when I run a game, one of my games on Thursday nights, and they came and showed us what you can do with all the different kind of weapon there is. And it was really interesting to see like the, you know, all the skills and what you can exactly do with it. So
I know
it helps you improve in the game as well. So
yeah,
I thought when I had that the first time, it's like, man, we need to bring them over for the con and make sure everybody has a chance to see what's going on and all that. So.
That's great.
So, yeah. And, of course, the RGH Wellness Center is sponsoring by having us there. And, you know, and that's what we got so far. So, yeah. But that's been, so we got a bunch of different games. We've got 3 games that are already filled up. We've got, like, Alien, so based on the Alien movie. We got Lord of the Rings. And we've got Star Wars. So, We've got those 3 games. There's another Star Wars game that's available that's not full yet, but that's filling up. And I know.
Yeah, we got quite a few games. We've got sci-fi. Yeah. We've got horror. We've got fantasy. A lot of games still available to grab a ticket to make sure you secure your seat at the table.
Yeah.
Okay.
So because on the website, when you buy your badge, you can see the games and say, oh, I really want to play that one. So you can reserve your spot on the game.
Reserve your spot on the game.
So there might be some spot available when you come, you know, if you haven't reserved anything or just you've got some more time to play. Mm-hmm. But if there's really a game you want to play, you better reserve it right now.
It's starting to fill up, and that deadline is quickly approaching on also those the discounted tickets too that are going. So yeah, plan ahead, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, great. I want to rewind for a moment and kind of talk about the origin story of RPG or role-playing games, right? Is that the correct acronym?
Yeah, role-playing games. Yeah. RPGs.
Okay. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, your history.
So are we looking for the origins of where RPGs started or our origin stories?
Ooh, I like both.
So.
Dealer's choice.
So I'll dive a little bit into kind of the history of RPGs. Back in the late 60s. There was some gaming groups, war gaming groups, back in the Wisconsin area. And they'd get together and, you know, they'd have these big tabletop wars like Napoleon Wars and whatnot. And a famous individual named Gary Gygax and Dave Arneson, those are the co-creators of what is now Dungeons and Dragons, got together. They'd play these games, but they wanted to know more about, well, I want to have an adventure centered around this hero or this, you know, captain. And so they took from that and created a role-playing game where instead of representing whole armies, you would represent a single hero going through an adventure to battle foes, clean out dungeons from evil presences, to eventually becoming like a lord of a castle and creating your own empire. And that they developed D&D back in, it was 74 is when D&D first came out. It's definitely exploded since then. Unfortunately, Gary Gygax passed away back in 2008. Or was it 2004? I forget. Gary and Dave Arneson both have since passed. They both passed in the mid-2000s. So there's a lot of conventions out there for RPGs, and it's since developed beyond just medieval fantasy. Now there's sci-fi and horror and...
Yeah, you guys described all those different almost genres that you're also going to be offering at your convention too. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So then going back to kind of, you know, the origins of, I've been thinking of running a convention since I used to run 3 and 4 different groups every week when I was in high school. It was in California at that time, but I always dreamed of getting all these groups together to run a convention. And over the years, I've, you know, thought about it. I've gone to conventions, seen how some of them run. And, you know, fast forward, you know, me and Yale have been working together off and on over the last few years, gaming together. And a couple times before COVID, I was trying to hold some like mini conventions to kind of test the area and get the community together. And I ran a couple of small events at Hobbytown. I think the biggest one was at their old location. And we had, I think, about 50 people come and go through. It was just one day. We had 5 or 6 tables. And then, you know, COVID hit, people dispersed.
Yeah.
And we lost track of them. And I was talking to Yale. I'm like, you know, we need to get the community back together. You know, it'd be nice to have a convention and, you know, bring everyone back together. And Yale was like, well, yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
That's you. Doers doing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's when, well, we had, you know, lots of things that came up to be possible that happened. We have the wellness center that wanted us to come and do the games over there. So that really helped us quite a bit to get started. And yeah, and when we saw we had the place, it was fairly easy to get everything going. And there's a lot of people running games. We know of about 30 of them in the Valley, and that's not everybody.
Yeah.
That's just some of what we know. And we know maybe other people that used to run games back in the days or people that used to play back in the day. So there's really a lot more people that we think of. Like when I was around distributing posters, I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember I used to play that. You know, it's like, well,
there's come out and play again.
There's a bigger
right?
community yeah. than that yeah. around. So, and yeah, so and we're hoping this is not like a one-time thing. We want to do that yearly as well for the console. So you can
that'd be great.
Get and bigger and bigger. So,
yeah, one day. Like, I would love to hold space for it here at the Church Project for y'all because
we're already thinking about it.
Yeah. So in the atrium, I just think yeah. it would be fairly yeah. epic upstairs.
That's what we're yeah. talking about when we went upstairs.
Oh, so, perfect.
So
yeah.
There's already a plan.
And also doing like, yeah, some stage combat stuff. I'm just like imagining like what an incredible photo shoot for the Sword Guild too. To
yeah. Yeah. To be able to
be
do
fighting
that
in an old church or something.
Yeah.
That would be fun. Mm-hmm. And get the full scenery of the princess being there and the knight fighting because, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe we'll even have part of the ceiling finished by then so we can have some really wonderful lighting.
Ooh.
Yeah. Got plans.
Ooh. Have a dragon up there. I don't know. So, anyway.
Yeah, I mean, why not? Like, yeah, the sky's the limit. So what have been some of the biggest challenges you guys have run into when kind of reconvening this community after COVID?
So definitely tracking down all the players that we used to be in contact with. I did used to work at Hobbytown, so that was an instant buy-in of knowing, you know, everyone that used to play. And since I'm no longer working there, I'm working elsewhere, just trying to reestablish those contacts. Mm. It's been a little difficult, but it's coming together.
Yeah.
What else?
Great. And then have you guys, it seems like you guys have found, I mean, kind of good marketing outlets and things, or maybe just by word of mouth too.
Well,
by...
Yeah. And that's what marketing is. That was a part also that's a little bit hard to figure out what works, what doesn't work. Like I got some poster printed and mm-hmm. things like that. And I run out pretty quickly from it. So, but that's good. And we can look at the, you know, we've reached out people from different area in the Valley, but we can look at next year. Maybe we can start extending to like putting some ads in Trinidad, Salida, Pagosa, and start bringing more people even.
Yeah. Kind of that next ring out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the first year. So there's a lot of like, you know, question that comes, how things are going to work and all of that. But I think it's going in the right direction, mm-hmm. really, what we can all do. So,
yeah. And I understand there's going to be food there too.
Yes. So we're working with some food trucks. So we are going to have confirmation, but they will be, yes.
They'll be
around. This is part of the like role playing games and all that. There's food has to be involved.
Yeah.
So
you can get me to come to really anything if there's food involved.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do. So, I mean, nice thing, like all the food trucks are getting together like at the 31st or some, no, 30th, when are there? Like, anyway, someplace in money. All the food trucks have a big gathering. So
yeah.
I'm going to go over there and talk to all of them. Like, it's like, hey, to see we can get a few in there. So, but yeah, there'll be at least one on Saturday, another one on Sunday. So
awesome.
So we can get. Definitely get some food in there. Plus, we can have, so I don't know what the name of her business. She has hair salon, spoiler salon, I think.
Oh,
that's
Rebecca Proctor?
There you go.
She's doing cookies too?
She's, yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's just so talented. She's my, she does my hair.
Oh.
So that's why I look so good all the time. It's because of Rebecca.
Well, awesome. So yeah, well, she was one of the friend of from Respawn, Nike. Told me to go contact her. She'll be really interested. So
very cool.
So that's how we got to be in touch. And so she's coming with that. So there'll be some like nice snack to have around.
Right on.
Maybe I should contact her. Maybe do little healing potion snacks.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. There we go.
I put a note. Yeah,
that's the awesome thing, collaborating and the cool thing.
Just literally witnessing like the boom, like yes, great idea.
Yeah, I mean, when you play the game, of course you give damage to people, but you take damage as well. So you want the healing potion that can restore some of the health back.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's valuable. Yeah. Thing, so,
how do you feel like I guess this is kind of a question for both of you individually, but how do you feel like, you know, these games have really kind of shaped you as an artist and as someone who wants to be part of community?
Well,
or I guess as a creator too, I don't want it to just be limited to artists. Some people have a disconnect to that title. So just creatively, I guess.
I don't know. The one thing that I thought, I mean, I work on computers. It's been, I mean, through technology all my life, I can do everything online if I want to. But one thing that COVID taught me is we need to get together. And that's actually, that's where the seed, part of the seed came up to, like, you know, writing my books and then contact with Keith when all that stuff came together. That is just like, yeah, bringing people together and just have fun time. Most of the games, sometime when they start, you spend 20 minutes, 30 minutes just chatting together. And, you know, so there's all that social aspect of things.
Yeah.
And on the creation too, like as a player, also sometimes you don't just roll the dice and there's a result. You have to express how you want to do things and based on the dice, and that may work a little bit differently and all of that. So there's all that expression and working together with other people as well. And that's what's kind of nice, is like you play with people that have completely different backgrounds you'll never work with, that never worked otherwise before. Like my first group, we had the youngest player was 13 and the oldest was like 67. That was a humongous, and we awesome actually game. Learned to play Dungeons and Dragons in Germany. But so now we've got 10, and I'm not going to say my age, but I'm the oldest. But but yeah, so we've got like the group evolves, and one of the thing too is on my side, at least, I see the youth, if they don't like to do sport, there's not that much stuff going on after school. And nowadays you got, you know, these are single parents family, or like parents have to work several jobs and all that. So the kids that could be by themselves on a cell phone or whatever else. So it's an outlet for them to go and socialize in a productive way.
Use imagination.
Yeah, use imagination and figure out solutions together. And what I like about those games, it's like not everything is written down. You make your choices, and based on the choice you make, like the story evolves based on what the decisions you decide to make. So that's like, that's the part that the story is alive.
Yeah.
And that's really the part that I enjoy the most. And
Yeah. And I got into wanting to develop the communities when I was in high school. I was one of those loner kids, and my high school buddies played D&D. It gave me something to bond with other people. And I was socially awkward and very much an introvert growing up. So D&D helped teach me how to gain those social skills, to be more active in the community. I wasn't very good with sports. So, you know, I was good at this. And it helped me to reinforce my reading, my writing, comprehension. And I've even, you know, I used to have a program over in Blanco, Fort Garland, where I was teaching this for the kids. And there's a lot of studies out there about how RPGs help reinforce, you know, social skills and just regular academic skills, like skills like math, reading, writing, all that. Mm-hmm. So,
well, yeah, it's so much creative problem solving.
Oh, yeah, too. For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of like puzzles or social situation that you can put them into. So it's interesting to see how the decision they make in game, and when you see them talking about life situation and how sometimes it's different, you know, and that's sometimes wish I could get a psychology degree to like understand, you know, how the difference and everything works out. But like it's really interesting to see that. So
I've definitely seen firsthand kids that we've taught, you know, over the years, that would struggle in school and now are in college doing really good and fantastic. And a lot of that had to do with learn how to play RPGs.
Yeah.
And that's why when you start going to conventions, a lot of people don't realize there's a lot of lawyers that are playing RPGs because it gets you into reading and you know, being able to, you know, solve problems and be on that stage in front of jurors and whatnot. So.
Yeah.
And also the way the players, the words they use to describe what they want to do, it's going to change a lot how things are going to work. And I had one player, same thing, it's like the wording and, you know, they were learning how to, they were young, so they were learning and figure that out and they're getting a lot better at it. But it's like, don't use the proper words, you know, it can change, it's really changed the outcome of how they want to do things. So there's all that language aspect of things also that they got to use. So, but, and yeah, so what they like to, one of my games I had at one point, they had to like, they were a situation and so I put them, I mean, I've got a TV laid out with a map that's on it and they put the little players on the TV. So I designed a castle, then they had to like figure out a way to get like one of those like magical sword. They have to find a way to get it without getting caught. And I put them in front of the castle. I drew the castle without figuring out how to do it. And I'm like, you guys steal the sword and I'm leaving for 15 minutes. You come up with your plan and I come back and we play the game.
Yeah.
So they were all against me and that's, they loved it. I mean, that was... But that helped them to bond also quite a bit and get people out of their shell. That's really what it is. I mean, people don't realize, you know, how valuable they are until they start, you know, getting socializing and having it shared your turn to see what you want to do and how you want to do things. So that, that's pretty neat. So,
well, and it sounds like this convention too that you all are putting on will be one, a great way for this existing community to kind of reconvene and come back together. But then also for folks who haven't played before but maybe have interest in it, this will be like a really great kind of like foot in the door, like come observe, come play a game or two and get to know the community. Because you were saying there were up to 30 around the valley and that might not even be all of them, but in all the different counties, the like games are also happening.
Yeah, so. Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We know of at least 30 DMs that are running games here in the valley, and there's obviously there's got to be other ones out there that we're not aware of
because there's some people that run like they run their games privately between their friends and family, so we don't really hear about them, but like they're still there. That would be and a nice thing for those who also played. That's a chance also to come conventions because you get to discover different kind of games that's out there.
Yeah.
And that opens up how you want to like run your games afterwards. So, so it's really beneficial for everybody. I think on that side, the people who've never played and those who have played before. So, So, and it's great to find people that like the same kind of, environment, you know, like all the fantasy, sci-fi, role-playing, which, you know, connect a little bit with like Renaissance Fair type of environment. So you don't have to come dressed up as a knight or wizard or anything like that, but...
totally optional.
So it's optional. You can if you want to, but like, no, you don't have to, but it's really open to everybody. But it's kind of like the same atmosphere, I guess. Everybody's very respectful. When people sign up, they have to sign a code of conduct for the convention. So just to make sure there's no problem. But I mean, usually we've got nothing there. But that's a very respectful community general. So that's always nice on that side. So
always good.
And then just a little bit about some things about going forwards.
Yeah.
So definitely we need to get established. Once we get established, then we could start asking for guest speakers, like RPG designers, famous artists, getting them to come down. A lot of conventions, even some vendors, until you're established, they're leery on coming down.
Yeah, so, no, that makes sense.
So definitely, you know, this is, you know, we're breaking the ground and we have high hopes to continue building so we can start bringing these cool artists and RPG designers that, you know, for people to come talk to.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. Really exciting. Oh. And like, our main stage too. We could have a nice panel discussion too.
Exactly. Yeah. We can be doing something like that. There's going to be, you can also sometime, like at the bigger convention, there's can buy art pieces also. So sometimes you can have artists that could be there. So how we play, we've got those little mini figurines that you can represent your character, but you can also paint it. Mm-hmm. And there's some people like extremely talented on that side. So like you can also could have some people that could be there and painting those things.
Yeah, it seems like the possibilities are endless, right? Yeah. My kind of development and communications brain as also a grant writer. But I think about, you know, like auctions that I've helped with, right? Mm-hmm. You do silent auctions or live auctions or a masquerade, like a costume party or gala around it if you wanted. It could also help raise money for then the next year.
Yeah, we were thinking about having some kind of auctions or something like that with some different items and things like that. But being our first year, that will be next year.
Yeah, next year. But, y'all have put so much effort into this, even in previous conversations, Yale, you and I have had.
But no, there's are things that we want to do. It's just, we're just like going step by step. But like, yeah, we want to be able to bring the same quality of convention you find in the big cities and things like that. Right. We want to bring that in the San Luis Valley. Yeah.
Great. And how can people get involved? Like if they want to get involved in helping with next year and the planning, how can people get in touch with you all? Or is that also through the website?
So yeah, we just have, we got the srvipg.com. That's the way to get hold of us, which has a link to our Facebook and Instagram page. But that's more of a like landing page, but that's the easy way to get hold of anybody on that side. So,
got it. Okay.
So yeah, we also do groups. So the DMs, the Dungeon Master that run games, we've been trying. So since January, we've met twice already and tried to gather all those people and try to have a list of contact and all of that. So that will be the people we've been relying on to be able to run games and help us with the convention and all that. So
yeah, and those DM meetups are kind of like a facilitator too for someone who is maybe unsure if they want to be a DM. And want to learn a little bit more about it, or they already have maybe ran a game or two and they ran into a couple problems that they don't know how to solve. It's a good way for a group of DMs that have similar experiences. We can reflect on that problem and help guide those new DMs, to be successful.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And we get to also try new games. We have a game also that run that evening that we meet up. So that's always a great way to see what's out there. So
yeah. And I know me and Yale were talking about making a board.
Yeah. For next year.
Okay.
So there's definitely room for more involvement going forward. Awesome. So yeah, just reach out to SLVRPG and we'll greet them and bring them into the fold and we'll see what
happens.
Or come and meet us at the convention. That would be a good way to do it.
Actually, y'all should do that first. Yeah. Just go to the convention, get your ticket.
Yeah. And then get that. Sign up for your games. We can talk over there. And I think we'll probably definitely wait a few weeks, maybe a couple months after the convention is over, and then we'll try to do another meetup and get
y'all
together.
Y'all deserve a break.
So yeah. And we need to since we want to bring that forward and do that yearly and try to make it bigger. We have to see all the things that happen and all the goods and things that we can improve for next year. And there are definitely ways we can help and get more people involved. And that's kind of what we want anyway, to be community effort and not just relying on our shoulders. And
awesome.
And that's it. So
cool. Well, I have one more question for you all. And sometimes I forget to ask this question in all of my episodes, but I'm trying to create a new tradition around it too for kind of the closing aspect of the episode. But what does a closet space mean to you all?
Ooh, a closet space. I mean, there could be secrets in there. It could be all kinds of cool clothes.
There has to be a hidden door somewhere.
Exactly.
That's...
Lion, Witch, or I forgot that book by C.S. Lewis, going through the
closet. The wardrobe and all that. Yeah.
Narnia.
Yeah, Narnia.
Yeah, Narnia. Yeah. Why couldn't think of it?
You're the Lion, the Witch, and the wardrobe.
But yeah, I don't forget. For me, there's something hidden, but something precious as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It'll be good, yeah. keep it in my yeah. mind. Is there anything else that y'all want to share?
I'm sure as soon as we walk out, there's going to be a bunch of things. So, but, no, I mean, we just want to invite everybody to come and enjoy and discover the games. And
did you have that list of the games to go over real quick?
I know
you brought it up.
Yeah, I brought it up. Well, but yeah, there's a lot. So there's a lot of like fantasy games.
So we do have regular D&D.
So what was called the D&D 5th edition. We've got a few games of that. We got some like custom games made by some of our DM. We've got a dungeon board game made for the 8-year-old and up, which even the older like adults and all that could have fun with. We got Tales of the Valiant, which is kind of a clone of the Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. So run by Keith. Right here, we got Starfinder. So this is Dungeons & Dragons put in space.
Mm-hmm. Like, where there's starships
and all that stuff. So that's a different kind of a word. But like if you play a little bit Dungeons & Dragons, the concept is of using your characters and all that. It's kind of similar. We had Aliens based on the movie. That game got filled up yesterday, I think. Mm-hmm. So for reserving the spot, then it's full. Maybe there'll be a spot or so that could maybe be available around the table. I think we can squish maybe a chair or so. So we got a Star Wars RPG as well. So that one got filled up too. There's another Star Wars. So it's called Star Wars D6. So the type of dice that you use are different. It's just a regular dice that people will play with that. We've got Castle and Crusade, which is... Well, Keith is running that one.
Yeah, it's like a 2E, 3E clone.
So yeah, like an older version of Dungeons & Dragons that they've cloned from there. So so I played that one. So like really fun games to play as well. So we got Call of Cthulhu. So that's Saturday night. So that's the one that's 18 and up. I'm only if you put even 21 or not, but it's or mystery.
Mm. Yeah.
So that's the kind of thing. You see monsters, you got to run away from it. Very easy to play, but same thing, a lot of thinking, a lot of like figure out how to like solve things. And it's a pretty fun game.
And that's run by another DM that's got decades of experience too, Douglas.
So yeah, people love the like horror mystery type. You really need to sign up for that one. That's going to be one of a kind. We got Pirate Borg.
Borg is like a dark horror but pirate themed fantasy RPG. So if you are like playing a pirate, Pirate Borg is your game.
That's the one. Bring your eye patch.
Yeah. And a sword, probably.
Yeah. Cutlass.
Then we got Magic the Gathering. So the card game, that's pretty famous. So we got that Respawn that's running that game for us. There's Lord of the Ring based on the books and movies that we've seen. There's Shadow Dark. So that's a game I'm running. It's kind of like Dungeons & Dragons, but lighter on rules. So it's a little bit easier to get into. Then we got, I've already talked about Starfinder, and that's about the different kind of games.
And we're going to be listing up a brand new RPG that just launched yesterday called Daggerheart by the creators of Critical Role. They're a pretty famous YouTube cast. They've been doing it for 10 years. They start with Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition. Bunch of voice actors that come together. You know, awesome. Ashley Johnson, a famous actor, she's one of the players.
Mm-hmm.
And they developed their own RPG called Daggerheart. So we'll have that one as well.
There we go.
So bring you things to try out. So
awesome. Well, thank you all so much for being here today, tonight.
Thank you for having us. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, so happy, especially with new things coming to the Valley. Well, not necessarily new things. This is, here. Groups have existed for a long time, but maybe...
But the convention is going to...
The convention itself is, going to be a really exciting splash. So, thanks, everybody, for tuning in to another episode of The Creative Citizen, The Unexpected Artist, with Keith and Yale today. talking about the SLV RPG convention coming up June 14th and 15th, 2025. Until next time.